This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people like A and others like B. At BMW, we prefer X. Like the dynamic X3, meant for ultimate exploration. The X5, built to conquer even the most difficult paths. Or the pinnacle of comfort and luxury, the X7. And since every X-Range vehicle is packed with performance and versatility, you'll always get the best of X. The BMW X-Range. Your next X-Venture starts here.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
What does it take to change the course of lung disease? It takes groundbreaking research in pursuit of new therapies. It takes the world's leading experts in complex pulmonary conditions focused on restoring patients' quality of life. It takes visionaries to improve treatment options for even the most advanced disease. To lead lung care forward across our region and the world, it takes Temple Health.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you on a Friday. Hope you had a great week. Hope you got a nice weekend lined up. Still got us here till 10 a.m. this morning. Good to be with you, Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne. So we made the observation yesterday that, and I think it's pretty accurate, the Astros, Rockets, and Texans are all kind of at the same level in their respective sports right now. Now, the trajectory may be different for each of these teams. I think the Rockets and Texans are still viewed as rising teams within their sports. I don't think that's a reach. The Astros, I don't know, the Astros are viewed as descending necessarily. They've descended since their peak, for sure. But I think that they're kind of leveled off a little bit. They look very different, for sure, and they're operating differently. But in terms of the caliber of team that they are, I don't see them as like they're on this, you know, that say they win 85 games this year, that this is some stop on the way to them winning only 78 games next year. I think they've kind of leveled off. They're going to have a lot of money to spend next year when Abreu and Montero come off the books, and there's a decent chance that this could be a small valley before they begin to go up a little bit again.
The patient is stabilized.
Yeah. It's stable.
You know, they're
condition.
Doing it. It's like a stroke victim. They've done incredible things with stroke rehab. These pads.
They exactly have.
Compared to what they used to.
Yeah.
So, but you still don't know. You're right. You know, we know you're not in danger of dying, and you've gotten some functions back, but just how good or how close can you get back to your former state?
Yes.
We might not know for years.
It's
going to take a lot of rehab.
You're a couple elbow injuries away from being right back to where you were, ma'am or sir.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about that.
You're deep von. You're damn near Wembanyama at this point.
Deep vein thrombosis. But I think as far as where they are, forget about how they arrived here. I think where they are, the Astros, Rockets, and Texans, I think the description is the same for all three. I think they're viewed as good teams in their sport that are kind of standing outside the fence looking at all the elite teams in their sport right now.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, and all of them also I think are just maybe it might just be a couple of tweaks that could vault them up. They've got enough talent. They've got enough of a foundation that with the right occurrences or somebody, you know, if all of a sudden Jeremy Pena took off and was an all-star caliber player or something, you could see them being way better than they vaulting themselves up into that elite category.
I think you can definitely for each of them come up with a reasonable list of things that they could do that could put them in the title conversation in their respective sports over the next year or two. So to that end, I asked the question the other day, which of these teams wins a title first? And I put up a poll to ask the people what they think about that question. Now, I think you, Seth, at first said the Rockets, and then kind of we kind of talked it through, and you arrived at the Texans. Maybe if I remember.
No. Correctly. I flip flopped on another thing yesterday about who was going to get cut on the O line. I'm pretty sure I stayed with the Rockets.
Stayed with the Rockets. Okay. Yeah. I don't recall. I was Texans mainly because not that I feel that they're significantly more talented or anything within their sport than the other teams. the format for football allows itself for more randomness than these other two sports.
Yeah. You know? For me, it was that I feel like with the Texans coaching staff, we still have to find out what they have in Nick Caley. I feel like the Rockets have a coaching staff, mostly just because of Udoka. With no offense to anybody else on the staff, but in basketball, it's so much about your head coach. I think Udoka's a championship-caliber coach, and I still have questions about the coaching staff for the Texans.
Totally valid. Yep. All right, so here's how I framed it on the Pender poll. And you can still vote. You can still get out and vote for 7 more hours. Do your civic duty. Get out and vote in my Pender poll. The Rockets, Texans, and Astros are all in about the same spot in their respective sports, anywhere from 7th through 11th in their sports power rankings. Simple question. You have to pick one to win the city's next title. Who you got?
This is what I'm thinking. Okay. We know this just from watching various cities, including Houston, for decades and decades, that if you experience a championship on a team when you're in your late teens or if you're in your early 20s, it imprints on your brain.
Pops, man.
There's a loyalty there that just transcends anything else. It's just like the same way with music. Everybody thinks that, like, today's music sucks. I'll tell you when it was really good, back when Debbie Gibson was laying it down.
Oh, yeah, that was good times.
Everybody loves the music from when they were teenagers and in their early 20s. And you can't argue them off of it, because that's what's emblazoned in their brain, is that's what good music is. So I think that because you're so big with the youth, because you're so big with Gen X and the younger millennials, I think that was enough to vault the Astros up above everybody else. And I think the Astros won your poll with 39% of the votes.
This is jarring to me for two reasons. One, because now this is the actual results of this poll so far, maybe a tacit implication that I don't connect with the younger audience
at all. Yeah. Yeah, no chance that I'm just dead wrong on my theory. Yeah,
yeah, you are. This is the wrongest you've been on one. You're usually let me take a step back. Seth's usually really good at guessing these. Like that's why we do it.
I'm doing the Malcolm Gladwell thing here, where I basically, as long as I talk about something like it's scientific, then people will think like, oh wow, that makes a lot of sense.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Now we've got a poll at least of several hundred people that would indicate, at least in this topic, maybe not so much.
Don't cloud my Malcolm Gladwell book with actual figures and real research, Sean.
The Astros are third in this poll right now.
Okay.
18.
Oh, that's okay.
18?
So they're more in lockstep with how I voted.
With how both of us voted. Yeah. The more so. Yeah. So the Astros, the Texans are winning this poll.
Mm-hmm.
Do you care to take a stab at the percentage? I'm not trying to put you in position to be wrong again, but like.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right. We've already established that, Sean. I've already popped that membrane. So let's go with. I think the Texans, given that I was so wrong. Engaging with what your respondents would say.
Yeah.
And by your tone of voice, I'm guessing it's Texans 68%.
Pretty close. I'm going to give him a ding for that one here, Ben. 59%. You're within 10%. I'll give you that one.
Now you're just treating me like a remedial.
No, I'm not.
Student.
No, I'm not. This poll.
You gave me a ding after you basically gave me the answer.
Yeah.
And I was within 12. I could have answered
Friday.
Anywhere. What was the actual answer?
Texans 59%.
So if I had sent anywhere from 50 to 68% or so, I was okay.
That's Friday. Yeah, feeling good. Yeah.
Right.
It's feeling good. You're one of my better students, and so I'm giving you, you know what I mean? Like, that's, you know, you get, if I were a professor, I'm posing as a college professor right now. I'm like, yeah, you know what? Seth shows up to class every day.
He participates in discussions,
asks good questions, puts in the work. Yeah, so I'm giving that one to you today. Now, come Monday, young man, you better be back on the poll, all right? I don't know. That came out the wrong way. But how about that, dude? Texans, 59%. So, again, the question, you have to pick one team to win the city's next title. Who you got? And I acknowledge that maybe as far as the sports within town, my audience on Twitter probably skews more towards the Texans just based on where we work and the team we work for, you know, on game day and things like that. But I was shocked. 59% think the Texans, and my answer was Texans, too, but I didn't think it was that lopsided. Rockets, 22.7%. Astros, the one team that's actually won titles this century, fairly recently, 18.3% for the Astros.
Yeah, and I mean, and that is the Astros part of it. It makes all logical sense. Yeah. This might be the hardest time I've had kind of divorcing my emotion from the way I see it. There's just that part of me that's like, hey, no, man. All you got to do is get Chaz McCormick playing back the way he used to play. And hey, sure, Jake Myers. Sure, he's an absolute drain at the plate. But man, look at his range in the outfield. You know how many games he's going to save for us with his range?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't you know? Wisniewski's probably going to be a Cy Young candidate. All he's got to do is exactly what Gerrit Cole did when he arrived, just accept the coaching and everything else. I can talk my way into them being the best team that ever played baseball, Sean, if I think about it long enough.
I do think, you know, because this isn't about 2025. It's about who will win the city's next title.
Yeah.
And I do think for a team that made some really bad decisions a couple years ago, the Astros, like really bad, I think they're still fairly positioned to kind of keep the competitiveness window. They're better positioned than they should be for a team that drained their farm system to go get older guys and then made really bad decisions. The one year they had where they could just go spend on the free agent market, made horrific decisions that year. You know, for a team that's done that, like if you just blindly said, hey, the Astros are going to, and I know those ratings of farm systems are very janky and maybe sometimes biased against the Astros.
Especially with the Astros historically.
Yeah, but they've been bottom five for years now in the depth of their farm system.
Yeah.
If you told me, like, I mean, they may be biased against it, but it's not a great farm system in terms of just the overall talent level, right?
It's been very fair the last couple years.
I think. So I think, like, for where they've been with their minor league system, and for the decisions that they made in terms of spending money, the bad luck they've experienced with some of the contracts, too, with McCullers and the injury, Javier and the injury, stuff like that. I think they're positioned, like, fairly well, and it helps that they're in the division that they're in, too. Like, you know, Texas and Seattle don't feel like they're ready to just go grab the division by the throat. So I'll acknowledge that.
Yeah, it's a very much a fair and even competition.
Yeah.
The Texans are still... the Texans, by Vegas standards, are the favorites to win the division, but it's not nearly by as drastic a margin as it used to be.
The Texans?
Oh no, sorry, the Astros.
Astros, the Texans are heavy favorites to win the division.
Good correction, Sean.
I wasn't sure on that one.
No, you're 100%. That was a really bad mix-up by me.
I dipped my toe in the water on that one.
Yeah.
But my point that I was going to make was that this question is as much about windows, like the window being open, as it is 2025. And I think the Astros, for a team that, like, you know, that's drained its farm system and made some bad contractual decisions and has watched guys leave every year, like they're in a pretty good position for a team that's lost marquee free agents every year, drain their farm system, and still has dead money. They've got money doing nothing for them on the books, at least $30 million worth this year, if not more.
And so much of it is stuff that you can't emotionally justify by, like, well, yeah, hey, well, we had to, you know, you had to have Montero around. Yeah, yeah. We were going to catch the waning years of Montero. No, there's none of that, obviously. He was waning the day he signed the contract.
He's still on the team. He's not. I don't know. He's still in the system.
Not the same. Yeah, he's getting paid differently.
He's still in the system. Yeah. There was an article on NFL.com that I saw a few days ago. I linked it here. It's about windows for NFL teams, and they have it was Bucky Brooks. I like Bucky Brooks. He does good work for NFL.com. 8 biggest Super Bowl windows right now, like for teams, like what's the shelf life for? And it's so hard to do in the NFL because the NFL flips. You can go from contender to nothing. You know, you go back and forth. For a league where the rosters are by far the biggest, you can go back and forth so quickly in the NFL. He's actually got the Texans in this article, though. It's like they're 8th among these 8 teams, but he says they've got the 8th best window of all the NFL teams right now. In terms of Super Bowl contention.
You said that the list is kind of screwed up, and I was going through it, and I'll read the list 1 through 8 real quick. Eagles, Lions, Chiefs, Ravens, Packers, Chargers, Commanders, Texans.
Yep.
My first guess, without thinking too hard on it, was that you feel like the Chargers being above the Texans is where it's kind of bleeped.
That's one.
Okay.
Where are the Bills?
Oh!
Bills are missing on this list.
That was my other thought. I was like, okay, he's probably missing somebody, but Bucky didn't list any more than that eight.
He just listed the eight.
Are the Bills, does he expect the Bills to plummet all of a sudden?
They're not mentioned in the article, so he doesn't have like a paragraph like for honorable mention or anything.
He's
like
a Bills hater. Bucky Brooks, Bills hater.
How about that?
He's not a hateful guy.
Yeah, how about that?
Did he play for the Bills at some point, too? Maybe he's trying a little too hard to be objective.
Maybe.
In all of it.
He played for the Colts. He went to North Carolina. I don't think so.
He wasn't in the NFL long at all.
Yeah.
So I don't. Boy, that's a weird one.
The only thing I would say about the Bills is it does feel like Josh Allen, like they are maybe more than these other teams, very, very, very quarterback dependent. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the teams that are on the list. Again, like the top of the list is Philly. And I know Jalen Hurts is just the MVP of the Super Bowl. They've got a very balanced roster. Detroit, Jared Goff has played good quarterback for them. They have a very, very deep overall roster. They lost nearly all their defensive starters this year and still won 15 games in the regular season. The Kansas City Chiefs are well documented. Pat Mahomes is the best player of the last 10 years. They haven't had to lean on him super heavily to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl the last couple of years. Ravens always belong on a list like this because they're just amazing at roster building, and Lamar Jackson's an MVP candidate every year. Packers are fifth. That's an interesting one to me. I don't know that I trust Jordan Love at this point to the extent that the Packers should be fifth on a list like this.
Yeah, I feel disrespect, Sean. I feel keen and extreme disrespect here.
The Texans
should be a little bit higher, and I feel disrespect on behalf of the Buffalo Bills, who I... yeah, I know that's really, we need to pin Bucky Brooks down on this.
Apparently
was a teammate of mine at one point.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
Apparently. It says that he was with the Jaguars in 1997. That was my rookie year.
Okay.
You know, my head spinning as a rookie. You don't know which way is up.
Are you looking at his Wikipedia page?
Yeah.
Is there a little asterisk next to the 1997? Because that would mean he was just there like on the practice squad training camp.
He was also with the Packers and the Chiefs in 1997, so yeah. I'm guessing he might have been there in the offseason and was released
around.
Or something.
Yeah.
All right, I don't feel as bad now.
No, dude, you're a rookie. Are you kidding me? You're just trying to get to know the guys on the defensive side of the football.
Trying to adjust to those heat.
Trying to make the team, probably.
I was trying to not to dehydrate. I was learning all about salt pills.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't know. I thought salt pills were just like from a bygone era. And I got to Jacksonville and tried to run around in that heat. I was guzzling them like I was a
salt pills. Ugh.
Yeah.
You're right. The Chargers being ahead of the Texans in this thing is a little jacked up. They're sixth on this window. And again, this is a subjective list from Bucky Brooks about Super Bowl windows. But if you had to pick who wins a Super Bowl in the next 5 years, Texans or Chargers. I just don't trust the Chargers' mojo. And the Texans just whooped the Chargers in the playoffs, man.
Well, yeah, Herbert has yet to play well in a playoff game.
Correct.
And he had one of the worst games of his career against the Texans in the playoffs.
He did.
But I think there's a certain trust in Jim Harbaugh. The interesting thing about this is that the offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, is a guy who is looked at in Baltimore as the guy that was limiting Lamar Jackson and keeping him from being as good as he is now. And he was still very good, but he's a much more polished version of an NFL quarterback now than he was with Greg Roman.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Greg Roman is the guy who's supposed to take Justin Herbert to that next level.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Yeah, Bucky Brooks says, despite C.J. Stroud's sophomore slump, the Texans remain in the mix as title contenders due to Stroud's talent and potential as a franchise quarterback. Garrett on Houston Stressens had a really long piece. It's a good piece. It's very informative, but it's very long. I was trying to frame it for radio, and there was just almost too much in there. But
yeah.
he made a really good case in the article. Like, he was almost arguing it as if he were a lawyer as to why, like, ultimately last year, the pressure that the Texans experienced, like that what was going on offense was not nearly C.J. Stroud's fault. As mm-hmm. much as it was scheme and the offensive line. And, man, he mm-hmm. had a ton of numbers in there, which isn't always friendly for radio.
Yeah.
I say all that to say it's a really good piece.
What was the big number that you would highlight?
I would say the big number was that he had the amount of pressure that each person on the offense was responsible for per Pro Football Focus.
Yeah.
So Pro Football Focus. And, you know, CJ can be, a quarterback can be responsible for a pressure just by holding the ball too long.
Right.
CJ was actually he was responsible for noticeably fewer of the pressures this year by percentage than he was in his rookie year when he was statistically, by raw stats, a better quarterback.
Oh, yeah. It's interesting.
It was interesting. Like it was pretty jarring. Like he had the stats by position along the offensive line.
Yeah.
And like, oh, okay. And they have like what the league average is for pressures allowed by percentage versus what the actual Texan players did. And it was like, oh, okay, Laremy Tunsil, left tackle as a position, allowed 12% of the pressures. Around the league, they allow 22% of the pressures because they're always lined up against the J.J. Watts and the Myles Garretts of the world. Like, the positions that they matched up. Like, left guard, Texans percentage, much higher than the league average.
Yeah.
Tight end, triple the amount of pressures allowed.
Triple.
Versus the league average. Yeah, yeah.
I'm impressed almost.
Yeah.
That was there's nothing like when a statistic matches up with what your emotions and your eyeballs say.
Yeah. But and I think the other thing he pointed out was like, man, like so many of the stats that CJ that looked really bad for CJ, he's a victim of the down and distance situations that the play calling was putting him in and the run game was putting him in.
Yeah, and they're just not being good at the run at all. And then when you're running the ball on first or second down, you end up in second and long and third and long a lot.
Yes.
And it's really hard for any quarterback to do well in third and long. That's one of the reasons the Chiefs were still way better than their stats would show offensively is just because they were good at least at getting to third and short or third and medium.
Yeah, they're great on third
and then Pat Mahomes, like every other quarterback in existence, is a much better quarterback on third and four than he is on third and 12.
Yes.
It's really, really hard to convert those third and longs.
Yep. So it's a good piece. Go find it. But carve out some time. Bring it with you for lunch and read it. I would recommend.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Big Time Rush, performing live in concert, playing every song from every episode and more. Big Time Rush, with special guests Caitlin Tarver and Stephen Kramer Glickman. Get tickets Friday, February 28th at LiveNation.com.
Payne and Pender.
Our other Garrett friend, Garrett Heinrich, yeah, who used to work for Sports Radio 610. Yeah, he says, in terms of your leniency with grading me,
yeah,
he said that you're the equivalent of a Friday movie teacher. If you're, you're the teacher,
sure,
that pops in a movie on Fridays because you're hungover. Yeah.
Yes, I would be that teacher for sure, kids. And it would be Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Let's watch that.
What was the best movie? This is a good one for the text line. What was the best movie that a teacher ever showed you guys that maybe even the teacher shouldn't have been showing you? I feel like I watched an R-rated movie because there was some... The guy had a plan for it, but I can't remember what it was, but it was like some historical drama or something. And it was you felt like you're getting away with something because you're watching... Yeah, you see a little bit of nudity or something. I think it might have been one of those Shakespeare joints.
I remember Meltzer talking about a teacher that he had, because Meltzer grew up in Connecticut, big WWF country back in the day, now WWE. Yeah. And I seem to remember Meltzer, Mike, if you're listening, text, that a teacher played WrestleMania 10 or something like that for the class one day, probably on VHS. I'm sure they didn't buy the pay-per-view. Pay-per-view is probably on a Sunday, but he brought in a VHS tape or something, and they watched WrestleMania 10, which was a classic. All right.
I bet it was for an English class, because there's a lot of storytelling in WWE.
Very Shakespearean,
and,
yes.
Well, yeah, but no, as far as a lot of the techniques and methods they use to move a story along or to create intrigue or suspense.
Sure. Yeah.
I bet it was an English teacher.
Yeah, yeah. They're coming in. My Latin teacher in high school had us watch Caligula.
Oh yeah, is that got a lot of a lot of Caligula type stuff.
Yeah, I have no idea.
Group stuff.
Yeah. That's
okay. The Latin teacher had him do that.
Okay, I want you all to be honest here, okay? Do you think there's a chance, 979, I need to know what grade, can you guys also put what grade you were in when they played these movies in the classroom? Because 979 here is saying that a teacher played striptease with Demi Moore.
No way.
Yeah. We request that you be honest, all right?
I haven't watched Striptease. Is it worth watching for any reason whatsoever?
I get Striptease mixed up with the one that had Elizabeth Berkley in it. Showgirls, it was Elizabeth Berkley from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
I like Showgirls better than Striptease. I seem to remember that. I've been a while since I've seen either of them.
What's the plot of Striptease?
Demi Moore.
That's where Courtney Cox plays a Navy SEAL that strips in her off time or something.
No,
is that okay?
Demi Moore gets naked. Yeah, that's the plot line of it. Who cares? Yeah. So you're getting Courtney Cox mixed up with Demi. It was Demi Moore who shaved her head to be a Navy SEAL in the movie, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is Courtney Cox in Striptease?
No,
Demi Moore
is in Striptease. Yeah, it's just Demi Moore. I don't know how Courtney Cox
was
entered
Demi
the
Moore
chat.
In Friends?
No, maybe an episode along the way, a cameo, but no. My German teacher let us watch one of the Monty Python movies during class on the last day of school. He was cool as bleep. Are you a fan of the Monty Python movies?
Monty Python's a little bit like, for me, they're like Coen Brothers movies where I enjoy them, but they're not laugh out loud funny. It's more just the weirdness of it or the silliness of it.
Yeah.
There's something intriguing about it that I do enjoy them, but they're almost... They haven't aged as well because it's just so super goofy.
Yeah.
That some of it's just not as, it doesn't play the way it used to.
I've never been a fan of that type of humor for whatever reason. The British, I get distracted by the accents probably, but yeah, the British.
I never
humor.
Liked Benny Hill.
See, I kind of did like Benny Hill. No, here's the thing about Benny Hill though. Like Benny Hill was a big thing back when I was in like late elementary, early junior high. And it was a little dirty. You know what I mean?
That
part was funny to me. It was a little
You know what I didn't like about Benny Hill? Were all the little moments between skits where they would do this super sped up.
Yeah.
It annoyed me. I don't know why.
I could see that being annoying. Text message, we watched Dead Poets Society with Robin Williams. It had some curse words. We watched it after reading a separate piece. Yeah, I could see Dead Poets Society being a movie that you would show. I mean, it's about a school. right? Yeah, I mean, it's about a private school up in Vermont.
And especially that teacher that showed it totally thought of himself as Robin Williams.
Oh, yeah. Scenario. Oh, Captain, my captain.
This is my spirit teacher. This is the way I teach the kids.
Yeah, yeah. Did you like Dead Poets Society? I like Dead Poets Society.
I liked it when I first saw it, and then when I rewatched it again a decade or so later, I'm kind of like, that's some sappy, sentimental BS.
Movies do get more annoying over time the older you get, some of them. Yeah, like,
Yeah.
All right, so yeah, keep sending these in. Porky's in 8th grade English. That's a lie. You didn't watch Porky's in 8th grade English class.
Especially with the way teachers and treated gym teachers and... What was Kim Cattrall in that? What was her actual... Was she a teacher or a secretary?
She was a gym teacher. Yeah, she was a gym...
Bambi.
No, Lassie.
Lassie, because she was loud.
She howled. Yeah. Lassie.
What a horrible movie. Now, I bet Porky still plays today. Oh, no, I bet it doesn't.
No. Okay, here's the thing, because I've watched Porky's recently. It absolutely falls under the category of movies that nowadays would have 15 felonies in it.
Right? No, you're 100%. It's like, oh, wow, we're laughing at sex crimes here, are we?
This is hilarious that these guys moved a pipe and they're peeping in on the shower room. That's hysterical.
Yeah.
That would not play today. Now, that said, like the humor, like the fun, like the, you know, some of the funny situations are still very, very funny.
It's good advertising. You know who hates that movie? Ooh. Tom Brady.
Because
of the jiu-jitsu skills of one main character.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Brady probably gets up and walks out of any jiu-jitsu
Anything with jiu-jitsu.
He's looking at the new kid work somebody over with jiu-jitsu, and he's just thinking like, yep, and 3 years later, he's boning my wife. All right, great.
Terminator 2 we watched in 6th grade. God, this is a great ask by you, Seth, of the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. These are hysterical. Wolf of Wall Street in economic class. Would that be an appropriate movie to watch in economics class?
Wolf of Wall Street would be good.
Yeah.
I don't know. The problem with Wolf of Wall Street is it's one of those movies that, as a young person, you watch it and you're totally like, yeah, I want to be like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right.
So I feel like that you might be watching that movie to show about the problems with pump and dump and all these illegal securities exchange type stuff.
Yeah.
But the message is lost on the youth.
Yeah.
The youth are just thinking, I want a helicopter. Is this how I get a helicopter?
That's one where afterwards you have to have a good recap of it that frames it properly. Like, no, don't be like that guy.
Right.
That's where your teaching skills need. That can't be a movie that you come in hungover, pop in, you're drunk, and then like after the movie, you're like, all right, have a good weekend, kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't.
I feel like those are all lost. It's the same way when you're a younger person and you watch a war movie or you watch a movie about criminals or whatever, the excitement gets you way more and it feels more enticing and appealing.
Yeah.
And then when you watch it and you're in your 40s, you realize how horrible war is.
Exactly.
And you realize how bad it is to be a meth manufacturer in Albuquerque. You're just like, I want no part of this.
Yeah.
I do not. There is zero part of me that ever wants to have a life of crime. But as a young person, you can be seduced into it.
All right, a few of these I think you can appreciate here. Text message, Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line. I taught world history at Spring High School in 2014 and showed Gladiator when we taught the Roman Empire.
Oh, yeah.
I think you would show Gladiator in your history class.
Probably, and then as a history teacher, you get to be kind of annoying and point out, like, well, historically, this wasn't the way it was.
But
let me use it as an opportunity to tell you exactly how it did work.
Right. Someone said that their teacher showed Moneyball in their junior year in high school in class.
Teach them about sports or love?
I think it can teach you about a few things. I think it can teach you about love.
Yeah.
I can teach you about economics, for sure.
That's why it was such a hit.
The haves and the have-nots.
And love.
Yeah. It can show you about trying to make something out of nothing, right? Like Scott Hatteberg, like versatility. Have multiple skills.
And one of the big themes of that movie is just having the integrity to go your own way when you feel like you're not being true to yourself in the way you're doing your business.
Don't be afraid to zig when others zag. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's one of the hardest struggles I face. Basically, me and Jerry Maguire, same struggle. Is that every afternoon I'll read something to where I start to try to get in touch with, like, okay, living a different kind of life and just being more of a beacon of positivity and everything.
Yeah.
And then by 20 minutes into this show, I'm like, Wembanyama, I hope he dies. I hope he's got 17 blood clots.
It's a tough industry to maintain.
The guy's a scourge on this nation. Send him back.
Yes.
Send him back.
We're in a tough business to maintain that zen. For sure. Payne and Pendergast with you. Oh, hey, I promised we would touch on this in the 7 o'clock hour. You alluded to it earlier. Thievery, a big theme in some of the news items of late.
Yeah, like way more than I even realized. I hadn't even seen this Carson Beck story until you showed it to
Carson
me.
Carson Beck, the quarterback for Miami, and I love that it was Florio's account of the story that I read about this, because Florio is framing what happened to Carson Beck as an unexpected tax of NIL money. I'll read exactly what Florio says. Quarterback Carson Beck reportedly got a $4 million NIL deal to transfer to the University of Miami. So Carson Beck, for those who don't recall, was the punchable face quarterback of the Georgia Bulldogs the last few years. Maybe the most punchable face in all of sports. Florio continues, living in South Florida, however, came with an unexpected tax. Via Andy Slater of Fox Sports 640, Beck's Mercedes and Lamborghini were stolen overnight.
Why does he have a Mercedes and a Lamborghini? Oh, my God.
Does that make you hate him? No, the answer
is... it doesn't make me hate him, but this is what happens when you give young people a boatload of money. And Carson Beck is... He's not going to be making $4 million a year the rest of his life.
Well, I'll say this. The Mercedes and Lamborghini could be comps from like a high-end dealership that's letting him drive.
That's a good point. Okay, good call.
So, I mean, I'm sure he's getting plenty of cash too. But he had his Mercedes and Lamborghini stolen. And I read a follow-up story that his girlfriend, who is one of the really good-looking twins on the Miami basketball team, I don't recall their last name, she had her car stolen. They found her car. But she had her car stolen, too. As a couple, they had three cars stolen in one night. That's some efficiency right there, man, by those thieves. I don't know if they found Carson Beck's cars yet. Don't really care. I kind of hope they don't. Like, honestly, Carson Beck has a face where if you ask me, like, hey, would you root for this guy's cars to get stolen? I would say, oh, absolutely I would.
Yeah.
This guy, for sure.
Yeah.
He had to
play football because the baseball scouts would have destroyed that face.
Oh, my God.
The baseball scouts are still kind of like, he's got the good face.
Yeah, right. Oh, the scouts in Billy Beans running Moneyball.
Yeah,
it looks
like a winner.
Yeah. Ben, is this something? Ben went to the University of Miami, our producer. Is this something? Is Florio, is he being unfair to your alma mater right now?
I never had anything stolen.
Anything stolen?
No,
not even a bike.
How many Lamborghinis did you have?
Oh, that's true. I didn't have one of those. One day.
Were you ever tempted to succumb to the kind of Miami fake it till you make it type of scenario where people are driving cars five times more expensive than they should? You're just trying to show out and look like you got more than you have.
Yeah. I didn't even have the means to get a car that is worth five times what I have.
Yeah, okay. No, now, okay.
Like,
now
I
this,
can't con people. That's my
problem. You didn't have, like, fake gold chains or anything, though?
This begs the question, Seth. Ben, were you the one stealing cars at the University of Miami?
Damn it, you caught me.
That's a statute of limitations. Dish.
Yeah, you're fine.
Dish, bro.
You're fine. The other story involving thievery, they caught these thieves that were robbing a bunch of athletes, targeted thefts of really high-end stuff from athletes' homes, including Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Joe Burrow. Seven Chilean burglars were caught. The FBI finally caught them. There were some parts of their methodology that were really impressive, like in terms of the recon they did at all these houses.
Some of it's easy. You know when a guy is going to be around or not. The one that, and honestly, I think sometimes when you see these stories, it's easy to kind of have a jaded feel about it. Like, whatever, Mahomes, whatever, Kelce. The big one for me with Mahomes is the guy's got two young children.
Yeah.
So, if you're breaking into homes and who knows that, but apparently that wasn't an issue. I think his entire family was at the game when
I say impressive, I don't want to say impressive like I'm in awe of these, because trust me, there's stuff that I'll get to in 2 seconds here. No reason to be in awe of any burglars. I'm just saying, they had a very, very planned out way of robbing these houses, including doing recon on the security that these athletes would hire to know when they were going to be around. Like, they had the patterns down. They were like Sean Connery escaping Alcatraz in a way. We knew exactly where all the little pitfalls were and whatnot.
It sounds as basically there's some guys who are they're almost like independent bands of burglars, but there's some fencers, the guys that actually buy the stolen goods from these. It almost feels like those guys as the fencers have a bunch of independent contractors who are these South American bands of burglars.
Yeah, I mean they had it like from the scouting of the properties to who we were going to, the fencers that we were going to get this stuff to. They the whole thing down. They got caught because they were taking selfies with Bobby Portis's watches, Bobby Portis of the Milwaukee Bucks. Yeah. They were posting pictures on iCloud bragging about the watches that they got to other guys that were part of their crew. And that's what, they had fake IDs. They were renting cars. They had burner phones. Like, this was an operation. And they basically get caught because they're putting selfies on the internet of this stuff.
And so some of these athletes actually had security.
Yes.
Like personnel. Like they had people that were supposed to be watching out for them and everything.
Yeah, but they're not 24/7, I guess.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah, they just used them at various times.
Yeah. Like
burglary's a rough one. I've never been burglarized, but I can imagine it's just, people all say it's just a dirty feeling. It's your house. They invaded your house.
Yeah.
And they were rifling through your stuff and they took it. And it just it's a clear and present reminder that it could happen again. That would freak me out a little bit, man.
Yeah, there were a bunch. They targeted some NBA guys. They didn't have all the names of the athletes in there. The athletes whose names were in there were the guys who the thefts made news. Like Burroughs, but the robbery of Burroughs' house made news, remember? Because he had that, I forget if she was an Instagram model or an influencer or whatever. She was like watching his house.
Oh,
working for him.
Yeah.
I'm making air quotes, radio people. Yeah, like, okay, she was working for you. Gotcha. Okay.
Bobby Portis, it's been a rough week for Bobby Portis Jr. Or at least they caught the guys that robbed his house, but then he just got a 25-game suspension for taking a drug that sounded like Toradol but wasn't Toradol.
Yeah.
That's a story. His assistant. I love his story is, well, my assistant gave me a pill and we thought it was Toradol. And if it's not clear whether he actually has a prescription for he took something called like either Tamadol or something, which is also, it's an oxy type of drug.
Yeah.
But he's claiming that it he thought it was Toradol.
Oh, that's wild.
But it's not clear like, okay, yeah, but did you have a prescription for this non-Toradol drug?
Oh my God.
Plus they don't usually give, I don't think, maybe it's different in other sports. In football, if you get Toradol, it's a shot. Because the pill is extra toxic to your liver.
Oh, really?
So they give you a shot instead of a pill, yeah. I don't know if athletes are still taking oral Toradol, but maybe they are.
I learned more about the pain-killing culture doing a show with you, man, than that's interesting. The Toradol.
The Toradol.
You love that.
Toradol's, it's good stuff. it's an anti-inflammatory, so it doesn't give you any, it's not like Oxy or anything else like that. It's that when you're in the middle of a football season and you're playing through like seven injuries, and it really is, there's a point during before the game and before warm-ups, you're like, oh my, this is going to suck so bad. You know, you'll be fine once you get to the game, but it's like the hour and a half that it takes to get your body like lubricated enough.
Oh, yeah.
You get that Toradol shot, and then within about 20 seconds, you get this kind of taste in your mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And then it just feels like people have injected WD-40 into all your joints. And like, oh, my turf toe is just kind of like, I can tell that it's there, but it's not like it used to be.
It's a great feeling. The taste in your mouth makes me feel like this is like a Guy Fieri show where he's going to like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives. We need a reality show where Seth just goes around taking painkillers and
taking different brands of Toradol.
Yes.
Like, ooh, it's got a woody flavor to it. This is going to be
the
good.
The accents on this one, the aftertaste is amazing.
And then I go on and try to do manual labor. And
like, that's the last segment.
I helped my friend move, and this is incredible.
That's the
it's
last
the best time I've ever had helping a friend move.
The first segment is the history of the dealer you're going to for the Toradol. The second segment is you actually taking it. And the third is you going and doing some massive manual labor project while on Toradol.
Yeah.
All right, if any producers are listening, if anybody's listening, that's our idea. Ben, big book of reality TV show ideas. Put it in there right now. All right. Hey, listen to Sports Radio 610 on the Odyssey app for an hour each day. It's winding down. You've only got a couple more days to do this. But if you listen for an hour each day to Sports Radio 610 on the app, you're going to be registered to win a trip to Vegas with you and three friends. at Circa, which is an amazing location right there on Fremont Street, downtown, old school Vegas. Huge, awesome sports book. Big pool, stadium swim. You're going to be there for the college basketball tournament with an extra $20K lying in your pockets that you can spend while you're in Vegas. So download the Odyssey app, listen for an hour each day, and you'll get your daily entry to the Slam Dunk in Vegas contest. Mock Draft Injection is next.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.